Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Acts. This is chapter 26. There are 32 verses in this chapter. We have commentary and a translation. Then also we're doing part 19 of spiritual warfare. We have several phone room responses and a couple of letters here. But right now let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to bless this service. Father, we've asked that you pour out your outward anointing, the anointing that is to give us the power to minister your word to the world and to our household and to the church, to our household, that our house may be in order, because those that don't minister to their household and don't support their wife and children, they're worse than an infidel. Now, an infidel goes to hell, and how much more a person that is worse than an infidel? And, Lord, we are to do spiritual warfare by supporting the church with the power of God and also all the needs that everyone in the church has, the body of Christ, and also to witness to the world. We ask that, Lord, that you increase the inward anointing, that is the life, your permanent, eternal, immortal life that's in us, by your Spirit living and working in and through us, by the Word. We are strengthened by your Word, which is Spirit, and it is life. And we are grown, we grow up to the fullness of the stature of Christ by the increase of the Word of God that keeps entering us on a daily basis. It's like water, and then there's like milk added every day, and until we get strong in the Lord, and then we start taking the beefsteak of the Word. And then we are able to gain more and more momentum in the fact, in the actual reality of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Lord, we ask that you fill everyone with your Word and give them more strength, more power in you, from the words or whatever it is that you give us this day in word, in your Spirit, in your truth, and that everyone is encouraged and supported by the letters and the emails that come in and phone room responses. And Lord, that you lift every one of us up, open up every heart, soul, spirit, and the mind to just put in more and more of Christ so that it completely fills us, as it fills us with Christ, the Father, the Spirit, that the more and more of us is eliminated and that the more and more of God is in us for our permanent, eternal, immortal life. Lord, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Let souls be saved in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, where's the first letter from?
From Nigeria, Africa.
All right.
Thanks to God Almighty on what He has been doing through your ministry throughout the world. May His name be praised. Today I received all the literature you sent me. I was very grateful to have seen the 3 cartons of tracts and booklet magazines with the 6 Bibles. This will help to reach the hungry souls which were waiting for me. Immediately I stepped out of the post office with it, and even those working there asked me eagerly to give them some. And on getting out, people were rushing me for it as if they knew I was there for the magazines.
This is what the people in, we just sent a witnessing crew out to Washington, D.C. They didn't put one piece of literature on a car. They said that people were just rushing them to get the literature. They said, is this from Tony Alamo? Give us some, give us some. They said that they passed out over 30,000 tracts, hand-to-hand, right there in Washington, D.C. area. Even police officers were stopping them and asking them and smiling to them and making comments on the church T-shirts and sweatshirts that they were wearing. They had one police officer even stopped traffic. You will hear that in just a few minutes from one of the brothers that were there. Okay, and then continue on.
So the Lord is really doing something here through your ministry. Keep on keeping on. He will not let you down. Thanks for your co-anticipation. I am still in need of other materials as the Lord provides, so as not to run short of any. Finally, I am interested in getting through to your theological seminary there in the USA for greater ministerial empowerment.
We don't have a theological seminary here. Theologians, Those seminaries are theological cemeteries. They're dead. We have a live church here that the Holy Spirit gives us the teaching on a daily basis, minute by minute, second by second, hour by hour, and so on. So if you come here, that's beautiful, that's wonderful, that's fine. And that's how we learn, is as the Holy Spirit teaches us one day at a time. Okay, and then what?
I am seeing things here in this part of the country that am going to be needed everywhere for the ministry, and that requires more training so as to meet the demand coming up fast.
You're welcome as the flowers in May. Praise the Lord. There's a man that just gave a testimony in our church tonight. I was there and we won some souls. And he stated that he'd been in churches all of his life, ever since his little child, 50 years. And he said he learned more in 1 week in my church than he did in all the 50 years that he was in the other churches. He said he'd been in several of them. You were there, amen?
Amen.
All right, and I hear this all the time. Okay, then what?
Thanks for your co-anticipation. Sincerely yours in the Lord, Pastor T.O.U. from Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Now, what else? What's next?
This is a witnessing line response.
Okay.
A woman from Memphis, Tennessee called named Muriel. Muriel said that she has been listening to Pastor Alamo's radio broadcast and is glad to hear someone preaching the truth. Muriel telephoned her friend, Laverne, and told her, quote, Pastor Alamo is back on the air, exclamation point. She said they are both extremely happy that he is on the air again and ordered an assortment of tracts and 3 Messiah books. She also said she will be sending a tithe.
Praise the Lord. Now, anything else?
And this is a response from the witnessers in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
I really had a good time tracking in Washington, D.C. The majority of the people took the tracts and they were very supportive of us. Over and over again, people would say, keep up the good work. You are doing a good job. Also on Monday, July 4th, I was tracking on a street near the Capitol building when a cop pulled up next to me with a smile on his face and with his finger told me to come here. And in my head, I was thinking, great, this guy's going to tell me to stop.
He knew where they were from because of the shirts they're wearing. It says, Tony Alamo, Christian Ministries. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Lord, don't let this guy stop me. Well, when I got to this cop's car, he was sitting in a red light. Much to my surprise, he said, quote, praise the Lord, brother, exclamation point. He stopped traffic to take a track, and he asked a few questions and wanted to be on the mailing list, and he really liked the rhinestone t-shirt. He told me to keep telling people about the Lord. Thank you for allowing me to go tracking so I can witness and track about and testify about the Lord.
Well, thank you for being obedient to God and witness for the Lord. I'm more than happy to allow you to, or anyone that wants to witness for the Lord, to support you all the way. Anybody, all of you out there in Radio Land. Okay, then what else?
This is a letter from Vandalia, Missouri.
This is a ladies' prison. Okay, then what?
Dear Pastor Alamo, I am currently incarcerated at the time, and I was just going through one of our reading cabinets, and I found a newsletter from you. I really enjoyed reading it, and I feel that you're a man that knows what he's talking about. I'd like to receive your Christian Ministries World newsletter. I also want to thank you for the spiritual lifting and positive thinking I received through your literature. Being in a place like this always has a lot of negative people surrounding you, and it helps to hear positive things from others, especially when it's got something to do with our Savior. I can't even begin to thank you enough. God bless you. A.J. from Vandalia, Missouri.
Praise the Lord. Anything else?
Yes, another witnessing line response.
Praise the Lord.
A man named Elijah from Coyers, Georgia, called to request the Messiah book. Elijah said that he is a prison minister, and while ministering in a California prison, the chaplain gave him a copy of Dry Bones.
That's my testimony track called Dry Bones, because I was dead, and just like as dead as dry bones, and the Lord came and blew his breath into me, his spirit, and rose me up from being a dry bones and gave me his eternal salvation and blew his Holy Spirit into me and gave me the power to minister his word and to write literature for him. Okay, then what?
Elijah plans to use the Messiah books for part of his teaching tools and also requested an assortment of Pastor Lamo's gospel literature and newsletters.
Praise the Lord. Anything else?
Yes, another response, a witnessing response. As I was coming out of Walmart, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to give a man I saw a tract. I promptly obeyed the voice. This man was about 75 to 80 years old. He was so very happy to get your tract. He said his name was John Miller, and he knew you and Susan on the ridge. He told me that you helped a lot
of... The ridge is Georgia Ridge out near Alma in Dyer, Arkansas. That's where we had a lot of property up there, and the brothers and sisters. We had brothers' dorms and houses for married couples and everything, and the government took it all away years ago. But everybody's bedded down now and housed. God gave us back new properties that were even better than the ones that they took away. They accused me falsely, and I had to do 4 years in prison, but I won souls in prison and thanked and praised the Lord that he accounted me worthy to be a strong testimony for him while I was in prison, and I won lots of souls in there, not only inmates, but also police officers and prison guards. And so Georgia Ridge, up on the ridge, where they say the ridge, that was a lot of property that we had there in the Dyer, Alma, Arkansas area, near Van Buren and Fort Smith, Arkansas. Then what?
He told me that you helped a lot of kids get off of drugs. I told him this was true. You spoon-fed the gospel to them and fed their bodies also.
And the gospel is that Christ came into the world, he died, was buried, and was resurrected. That's the gospel, that's the good news. That's the quiescence of everything. He died, he never committed a sin, he died, was buried. He died on the cross, shed his blood for us, and then he was buried, went to hell, then rose out of hell, and rose from the dead, and that is the gospel. Then the Bible says that he ascended into the heavens and took his place on the right hand of the Father, sits on the throne of the highest of heavens, and is making intercession for the sins of people. He also is sending his life-giving spirit, his quickening, or calls life-giving spirit, into those of us that want to, that love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means loving the Word, to not only hear what the Word says, but to do what the Word says. That's what faith is to hear the Word of God, to listen to what it means, and then there's three aspects to it, and then the second aspect is to do what His Word says, and the third is to patiently continue doing it, to patiently possess our souls to the very end so that we're not castaways. Okay, then what?
He said that you and Susan got a bum rap from the media. I told
him... Oh, from the government, from the satanic one world antichrist government, the cult, one world cult, and the one world media. Yes, we did, but Satan got fooled. They put us in jail, in prison, jail many times and in prison, and we won souls there. They just wanted to spoo us out of there. I was there 4 years and then a halfway house for a half a year. It's like a half a year. And then, I don't know how many times I've been in prison for distributing literature. In jails, rather. Okay, so go ahead.
I told him that you are bigger than ever. Your newsletters are...
Well, I hope I don't get any bigger. You know, I'm trying to reduce a little bit here. But, the Lord is spreading His gospel, His Word, more and more is what... she should say, I'm trying to reduce. All right, then what else? But I'm trying to expand the gospel throughout the world. And you can help us, too, by doing it. You know, get some literature and start distributing it so you can partake in all the blessings here on this earth with us and throughout eternity. Then what?
Your newsletters are saving souls all over the world. I also invited him to church. He said that he knew where your church was.
Well, we have thousands of churches all over the world. Just as long as he knows one of them where it is, all right? That's near Texarkana, Texas, I think is the one he means. All right, then what else?
It is a joy to me to pass out these tracts. No matter where you may be, there is always someone God wants you to witness to.
That's right. The world is just full of around 5-6 billion people, and there's plenty of work to do, and let's pray that God will send workmen out in the field, because the field is white for the harvest. It's one of the last signs of the coming of the Lord is a great falling away. They're all into false doctrine now, and they say that Satan will sit down in the temple of God Well, who is the temple of God? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And the people have left the word of God and allowed the spirit of Satan to enter into them, and they've fallen away, and they're believing the Antichrist doctrine for fear that they'd be persecuted. So, you know, if you even think about doing that, drop it immediately and just stay into the word of the Lord and do what the Lord says. Don't be afraid of what man can do to you. Or be more afraid of what God, he can take your life and cast your soul into hell and then the lake of fire. Now, the Bible says that hell, death in hell shall be raised up, the people in death, yeah, hell will be raised up to be judged on the final judgment. That's chapter 20 in the book of Revelation. And he says that death in hell, the people there, will be cast into the lake of fire where the fire is unquenchable. It will not be quenched, and they will not, the spirit never dies. It's just going to keep burning and burning and being tormented throughout eternity. So we've got to get right with the Lord and stay right with him, and your patience possess you, your soul. Okay, and anything else?
Yes, another witnessing.
All right, go ahead.
A man from the Joplin, Missouri area called...
That's where I was born, praise the Lord. It's good to know that we're getting to the place where I was born. Then what?
His name is George, and he had received Pastor Lamo's newsletter, Earthquake. He asked to be put on the mailing list.
Well, that's good. And then what else?
Also, a young man from Springfield, Missouri called, requesting prayer. He said he needs strength to keep on the right path. I told him he needed to get deep into the Word of God, and he was very happy to hear that he could receive Pastor Lamo's Bible studies on cassette tape, and also the Messiah books and other literature that Pastor Lamo writes.
Right. Now, the Bible plainly states that... With Moses came the law, and with Christ, grace and truth. Well, the meaning of grace is power and truth. And so the Lord, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God never dwelt in the masses of people like he can today. When Jesus went up to heaven, he can send now the life-giving Spirit, the power of God. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. And so when he said the words that he speaks... are spirit and they are life. So the Word of God is what possesses the power of God to give you the strength to have more and more of the life of God in you. Now, the life of God, the fullness of the stature of Christ, does not enter into you overnight. You're going to have to, it happens one day at a time. The Bible says that we're to meditate in the Word of God, or the law of God, which is the Word, the whole Word of God, both day and night, and then we'll be like powerful. We'll be like trees that are planted by the water. And we, the Word of God is like the living water. So when we meditate in the Word day and night, you'll see that in the first Psalm. Read it. You'll see that it will be powerful. Our leaves will not wither, and will always be able to bear abundant fruit. And then read about meditating on the Word of God in chapter 19 of the book of Psalms, and then also Psalm 119. And just look in your concordance under meditation, and you'll find it there several times in Psalm 119. All right? And so he wants more strength. Yes, the literature that I write is directly from the Bible, and it will give you strength. But you get yourself a Bible, too, and open it up and start reading, and you'll get strength yourself by reading the Word of God. Okay, then what?
He intends to come to services and appreciates that all this will be sent to him to strengthen him.
Right. We get strong from the Word of God, powerful. The Word of God is powerful. It's sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. His word is like a hammer. It's like a fire. It like burns into the spirit, the soul, the very fiber of our being, and gives us the power to stand strong and in patience, possess our souls to the end, and gives us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, gives us the strength, the power to minister the Word of God. Even Jesus had to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. After he was totally submerged in water at John the Baptist's baptism, he came up out of the water and he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. It was like a dove that came down upon him and settled on him. And right after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he had the power from on high to go into the ministry, to go out and conquer any temptation of Satan. He was tested. The Lord's Spirit led him out into the wilderness to be tested or tempted by the devil. And he endured it all and told the devil to take a long walk off of a short pier. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Then, okay, let's get now into the chapter 26 of the book of Acts. And let's go. I think most people are reading King James Version, so we'll start with the translation with the 32 verses.
Verse 1. Then Agrippa said to Paul, quote, "You may speak in your defense," unquote. So Paul, with a gesture of his hand, started his defense. Verse 2. Quote, "I am fortunate, King Agrippa, that you are the one hearing my defense against all these accusations made by the Jewish leaders." Verse 3. "For I know you are an expert on Jewish customs and controversies. Now please listen to me patiently!" Exclamation point. Verse 4. "As the Jewish leaders are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood among my own people and in Jerusalem." Verse 5. "If they would admit it, they know that I have been a member of the Pharisees, the strictest sect of our religion." Verse 6. "Now I'm on trial because I'm looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors." Verse 7. "In fact, that is why the 12 tribes of Israel worshipped God night and day, and they share the same hope that I have. Yet, O king, they say it is wrong for me to have this hope!" Exclamation point. Verse 8. "Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead?" Verse 9.
Worshipping the Lord day and night. That's why there has to be a prayer chain in the Los Angeles church. This is how we are overcomers. We become overcomers is by prayer, and to pray always. So, this prayer room there needs to be occupied daily. Everybody has to have a prayer hour, and we keep this prayer room separate between men and women. The women go have their prayer hours, and the men have theirs. And so, somebody, you better get that going, because you don't want the Lord to pour out curses upon you. And I don't want God to pour out curses upon the church. I know we have prayer hours in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and in Texarkana, and throughout the entire world. And we better keep that Los Angeles church going with prayers. That prayer room has to be extremely active. And we're putting a new air conditioning in there tomorrow, Monday, which is July, what is it, the 10th tomorrow?
Yes.
Or the 11th, 2005. So we have to start, and we have to reestablish that right away. And I don't care if you're working or what, repairing up there at the church, you got to take an hour out every day to fill your spot in the prayer chain. All right, then what?
Verse 9. "I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the followers of Jesus of Nazareth." Verse 10. "Authorized by the leading priests, I caused many of the believers in Jerusalem to be sent to prison, and I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death." Verse 11. "Many times I had them whipped in the synagogues to try to get them to curse Christ. I was so violently opposed to them that I even hounded them in distant cities of foreign lands." Verse 12. "One day I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priests." Verse 13. "About noon, Your Majesty, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions." Verse 14. "We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, quote, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to fight against my will,'" unquote. Verse 15. Quote, "Who are you, Lord?" I asked, and the Lord replied, quote, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting."
How come he said, "Who are you, Lord," if he didn't know it was the Lord? Amen?
Amen, amen.
He knew it was the Lord. Then what else?
Verse 16. "Now stand up!" Exclamation point. "For I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and my witness. You are to tell the world about this experience and about other times I will appear to you." Verse 17. "And I will protect you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles." Verse 18. "To open their ears so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. Unquote. Verse 19. Quote, and so, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to that vision from heaven. Verse 20.
So what he did is he heard the word of God, and that was the first aspect of faith, and then he had faith to go ahead and do it. And some people think, well, Jesus did everything. He did everything to show us what we have to do. He was our role model in what we're supposed to do. So Paul heard, and he believed. That was the first step in faith. Then he had to do the things that he heard that he was supposed to do. And then third, he had to continue on, he said, or he'd be a castaway himself. And that's what we have to do as well. You're not hearing Old Testament here. This is New Testament. And that's for everybody. The Lord says, now that you're saved, take up your cross, deny yourself, and start following my example by hearing the word of God. That's the first aspect. Second aspect is do what the word says. Because all that Christ began to say and do is what the book of Acts starts out with. And then number three, we have to continue walking in the Spirit, patiently enduring everything, every environment that we're put into, whether it's prison or the ghetto or in the high-class areas, whatever, that we continue on doing the will of the Lord, hearing the will of the Lord, then doing it and continuing in it. And be very close, always praying and corresponding with the Lord by prayer, praying to Him and asking Him what to do on a daily basis so that you don't fall into danger or death. He said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge, knowing these things. Knowledge means to know what you're supposed to do. And here it is, in black and white, telling you what you're supposed to do. The three aspects of faith is to believe the word of God, do what it, number two, do what it says, and three, continue doing it to the end. Then what?
Verse 20. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles.
See, he was doing it, wasn't he?
Amen.
He was doing it.
Amen.
Amen. And so were the other ones. He wasn't just learning, but he was learning and doing. And he continued. He says, I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. That's the end of my ministry now. I know I'm going to be beheaded, and so what? I'm glad to be with the Lord, for to be with the Lord is better than being here, amen?
Amen.
Than to be separated from Him. And so he fought a good fight, and there's a crown laid up for him in eternity, and that's the only way you're going to get in. If you go along for a while, and then you decide, well, time for me to retire now, I put in enough, that's your own idea, but the word is completely contrary to that. We have to continue on to the end. I hear of these people, Baptist preachers and other preachers, retiring. My. Where do you find that in the Lord? In the Word of God. The Word of God, the law of God, is the whole Word of God. The law of God, and Jesus didn't come to do away with the law, He came to fulfill it, to continue on until His end came on the cross. And then he was buried. He died, was buried, and then resurrected. And that was the gospel. And we can be sure that if the same spirit that was in Christ is in us, when we die, then the Lord will raise us up on the last day. And he says the last day will come immediately after the tribulations. Not before. He's not going to rapture us out of here before that. But immediately after the tribulations. Read the 24th chapter of Matthew and see that. Okay, then what?
They all must turn from their sins and turn to God and prove they have changed by the good things they do.
Yeah, that's what John the Baptist said to these. He was baptizing all the people unto repentance, but the Sadducees and the Pharisees came for their baptism. He says, I'm not baptizing you, he says, you brood of snakes. He says, until I see you doing the work of God. I'm not, he says, you just know the law, but you don't keep the law. You don't do what the Word of God says. Now, the law, again, is the Word of God, because all throughout the Word of God, it tells us what to do. And that's law, God's Word, that we do that or else. The Word of God is Jesus. That's why the Bible says, believe on the Word of God and thou shalt be saved. You say, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And the Word of God is God. And God, the Word, came into the world as a man. And that was Jesus. And so, he says, you brood of snakes, I'm not baptizing you Pharisees and Sadducees until I see. I know you have studied the law and you know it, the Word. You even were able to tell the wise men when the Messiah was going to be born. But I'm not baptizing you until I see you doing what the law, the Word of God, says to do. Because the three aspects of faith, you have to have faith in order to be saved. So first you have to believe the Word, which you do, but then you have to do the Word, which you don't do. And then you have to continue doing it. Now, when I see you doing the will of God, then I'll baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins. But you're full of sins now until you start doing what the Lord says, and that goes for all you people out in radio land and on television land. And in gospel tract land, or wherever you hear our gospel message, read the Bible. That's the way it really is. Okay, then what?
Verse 21. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried to kill me.
Never preaching the truth. Okay, then what?
Verse 22. But God protected me so that I'm still alive today to tell these facts to everyone, from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen.
Right, because he knows that if he taught any false doctrine, these false teachers and preachers today and false prophets, they're not wise enough. They don't fear God at all. God sent them strong delusion because they don't really love the Word of God. And so they're damned. When God sends you strong delusions and he picks the delusions that he's going to send you, and you have no love of God, he says he sends strong delusions that your soul might be damned. He makes you believe a lie. He says, I'll make you believe the lie that you do. I'll make you believe that the Antichrist cult, the Vatican, is of the Lord. I'll make you believe that the one world government is not the Antichrist. You'll really believe it. I'm making you believe it so that your souls will be damned. I'll make you believe that the media is honest and forthright in telling the truth and not slanting stuff. These false character assassinations against gospel people, and that they're exalting Rome, which is the Antichrist, the Rome cult there. I'll make you believe that. If you're a thief, I'll make you believe that it's all right. If you're a murderer or an abortionist, I'll make you believe that that's right, so that your souls will be damned. Because you're going to do it anyway. I'm going to harden your heart to the Word, because the love of the Word of God is not in you. Now, that's what I'm going to do to you, God says. Read it in the last chapter of Isaiah, verse 4, and also read it in 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament, chapter 2. Read the whole chapter, get enlightened. And then read in the first chapter of Proverbs how God's going to laugh and mock and scoff at you because you considered his word to be nothing. When you're going out to hell in the lake of fire, he's going to be laughing at you and mocking you. You'll say, oh, God, and he'll say, oh, God, oh, please, God, don't. And you'll say, he'll say, oh, please, God, don't. And he'll go, ha, 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 as you're going out into the pit of hell in the lake of fire. So I think you better get into the Word of God and believe it, first of all, first aspect, then do it, second aspect, and then continue a-doing it. Okay, because it's for your soul's sake. You think you're pleasing God, that it's going to put another notch in God's book, Ah, he's going to make it. He's going to be alive forevermore, whether you burn in hell or in the lake of fire or not. It's for your good, son, daughter. That's who it's for. It's for you. If you reject it, then you reject life, eternal, permanent life. That's what you reject. You're sending your own soul to hell by rejecting with the clear blueprint, instructions, map into the kingdom of heaven. The word of God is straight. It tells you the straight dope of what to do. It tells you the straight instructions. And if you, that's the straight and narrow. Yeah, it's narrow. But it's easy. It's simple. And you're not going to get it in 99 and 9/10% of the different churches, supposed to be churches today. But you can get it right out of the Bible. And you can get it by listening to me. Okay, so pick up the Bible if you don't want to listen to me. Maybe my voice irritates you. So, well, then pick up a Bible and read it yourself. Because that's what it's going to take for you to make it. And read my literature if you don't like the tone of my voice. And if you don't like the way I write, then read the Bible. And if you don't like the way God writes, then I'll tell you something. You have not the love of the Word of God in you, and He's going to send you strong delusions. A strong delusion of His choice, tailor-made for you to make you believe till your soul is damned. A false thing. Okay, then what?
Verse 23, that the Messiah would suffer and be first to rise from the dead as a light to Jews and Gentiles alike, unquote. Verse 24, suddenly Festus shouted, quote, Paul, you are insane. Too much study has made you crazy, exclamation point.
Yeah, that's quote. What the Vatican says. If you study the Bible, you'll go crazy. But the Bible says anyone that says that is crazy. And anyone that says that is a fool. A fool has said in his heart there's no God. A fool would say that it's crazy to read the Word of God. A fool would say that it's crazy to preach the Word of God, and that is, you're crazy for doing so. You're the crazy. You people of the world, it's obvious. I mean, how insane can you be that you can't tell that we're living in a world that has gone mad? A world that has gone crazy. A world that has gone wild. This world has gone wild. You don't even know from one day to the next that some bomb isn't going to be set in the, underneath your car in your house. And you think that we're living in a peaceful world. The more they preach peace, the more there is sudden destruction. We just saw on the news last night about these bombs that were set off in the subway in London and in buses there. And they're scared to death. And look at the White House. They all scattered when a Piper Cub was flying over. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as lions. Okay, keep going.
Verse 25, but Paul replied, quote, I am not insane, most excellent Festus. I am speaking the sober truth. Verse 26, and King Agrippa knows about these things. I speak frankly, for I am sure these events are all familiar to him, for they were not done in a corner, exclamation point. Verse 27, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do, end quote. Verse 28, Agrippa interrupted him, quote, do you think you can make me a Christian so quickly, end quote. 29, Paul replied, quote, whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains, unquote.
Well, I mean, if you're not a Christian, you're going to be damned. Agrippa or Festus or anybody. And so do you think it's smart to say that you think you can make me a Christian? It's to Agrippa's or Festus's advantage if he is a Christian, and yours as well. Because there's only one person that rose from the grave and can send the life-giving spirit into your miserable soul and make you have eternal, immortal, everlasting, permanent life. And that's the life of Christ, who died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected, so that you could also resurrect if the same spirit that was in him abides in you. And that can happen right now if you ask the Lord to enter your heart. Okay, then what?
Verse 30. Then the king, the governor, Bernice, and all the others stood and left. Verse 31. As they talked it over, they agreed, quote, "This man hasn't done anything worthy of death or imprisonment," unquote. Verse 32, and Agrippa said to Festus, quote, "For he could be set free if he hadn't appealed to Caesar," exclamation point, unquote.
Well, somebody should have talked sense to Paul. So, yeah, Paul, you can be set free if you don't appeal to Caesar. But they just wanted to go through the ropes. But that means, you know, you should be careful what you appeal to and what you say. You should be led by the Holy Spirit, amen? Sometimes Paul got beside himself and just spoke out of his own will. All right, now we have commentary.
Here's some commentary about receiving forgiveness. Chapter 26, verses 12 through 18. We confess to God. We admit to God and to ourselves and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. We confess our sins. As we work out our salvation to where it becomes the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that the program, it's not a program, it's that we continue receiving the Spirit and the life of the Lord by reading His Word. As we continue that...
Reading and doing His Word. Okay, then what else?
As we continue that, while we're going through a process in accepting the truth, the Spirit, and the life, we have to receive the truth first of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we come to the abrupt knowledge, or we start recounting the truth about our life and the consequences of our choices.
Yeah, now we have to, by learning the truth, we begin having faith in the truth. And by faith, that means that we learn it, and then we do it, and then we continue doing it. Those are the three aspects of faith. Amen?
Amen.
The Apostle James says, "I'll show you my faith by my works." And Paul said that he did more works than any of them. And Jesus says all that it tells of Jesus, all that he began to say and do, the works of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
But we have to do the works of Christ. Otherwise, the Spirit of God in us, it would be in us for no reason whatsoever. He enters into us so that he can continue his incarnation, living in human flesh here on this earth, to get his job done. That's what we are, is his body. That's why it's called his body, because his spirit, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, enters into our body so he can continue doing his life-giving work here on earth through us by preaching and teaching faith in the Word. And we, as ministers of the gospel, have to show people that faith is hearing the Word and believing it, and show God and everybody in the world that we believe it by doing it, and then by continuance, because people have no faith in people that begin having faith and then fall away back into the world. That isn't faith. You've missed the last aspect of faith. And if you think that the law doesn't exist anymore, Jesus said that he died once. He said, "Behold, I was dead, and now I'm alive forevermore. I'm not going to come back and die again for a bunch of you people that think that you can be saved and then fall away and then be saved and fall away." Somebody told me yesterday, "Well, the Old Testament says that a righteous man can fall seven times and then rise up again." That's Old Testament. We have this power. With Christ came power and truth. Grace means power. So with Moses, the Old Testament, came the law, but with Christ came with power to stand and not fall, and the truth of the gospel. And he explains how we're able to keep the law and continue on to the end. And the law is actually intensified in the New Testament, because he says, yeah, Old Testament says if you commit adultery, you get stoned to death. In the New Testament says if you even look at a woman with lust, he says you've already committed adultery in your heart. Or do you get stoned to death? We go to hell and the lake of fire. Isn't that terrible? Well, we don't know that it's the truth. Oh, so you don't believe. Okay, you don't even have the first aspect of faith, let alone the second aspect of doing what the Bible says. You believe you can commit adultery, fornication, be a lesbian, a homosexual, steal, lie, murder, and all the other things, and covet people's goods. Oh, I see. But Jesus said if we break even the littlest of commandments, we've broken them all. So he gives us the power to keep even the littlest of commandments, because the new rule is if you break even the littlest of the commandments, you've broken them all. The least of the commandments. So he gives us, you say, well, then how could anybody get into heaven? Because you underestimate the power of God. His power, his word, holds this world up. It's a very heavy world. His world, his word holds everything up. He made the sun to shine with his word, the moon, the stars. He made everything. He blew the breath of life into the first man and then took woman out of the first man's rib cage. And then he caused them to be able to have children, and children multiplied in the earth, and they sinned, of course, and now every one of us has been born of sinful parents, so we have the Adamic sin on our souls. But we must believe the Word of God. It was the fall of mankind came because they didn't believe the Word of God. So the only way to get saved is to believe the Word of God, all of it. Well, what did they not believe? The Lord said, in the day that you eat from that tree, he says that ye shall die. And that means your soul shall die and go to hell. That was the only commandment. But the minute that they took, then they began knowing every kind of evil thing, and then it became a real can of worms to try to keep everything under control. And they couldn't unless Christ came into the world and began living inside of us. But when Christ, the power and the wisdom of God, moves into us with his spirit, with the fullness of the Godhead bodily, then we have the power to be able to keep the commandments. But you got to have faith in God, and his God is the Word. So believe the Word, and thou shalt be saved, which, believe the word, which is Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The whole word. Man does not live just by natural nourishment, just bread or the fruit and vegetables and things like that. But man lives eternal by receiving every word of God that is spoken in the Word of God. You have to believe it all and also eat other food. And that's how man lives, is by taking spiritual food as well, which is the Word of God. And that's what gives you the power. Receive Christ, the whole Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. You can't receive the whole Word of God at once, but you can at least get salvation by believing what the Bible says and what I'm telling you here about the Word. You can be saved right now by just saying, yes, Lord, I believe your Word. I don't know it all by any means, but I plan to learn it all. I'm going to take up the cross and follow you. I'm going to deny myself. I hate this world. I know that the world is at its end. Couldn't go on any longer. I see that the White House, there's nothing left. I mean, a little Piper Cub flies over and they scatter like a bunch of cockroaches when the lights turned on. And so there's no hope but in you, Father God, in you, Lord Jesus, in you, Holy Spirit. Come into my heart. Wash me with the blood that you shed on the cross at Calvary, and make me a new creature. And I promise, Lord, I will meditate in your word both day and night, because I know that if I do, I'll be blessed, and I'll be like a tree that's planted by the water. I'll be strong. My leaf will not wither. Everything will be wonderful, and I'll be bringing forth abundant fruit. I'll be blessed in this world, and I'll be blessed eternally. And I refuse to go to hell in the lake of fire. Father, enter me now in Jesus' name. Jesus, enter me now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, save my soul. Come into me, Jesus. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me powerful from your word. You are the word, and I love you. Praise God. Okay, then what? What do we have here?
You may feel that you have to earn forgiveness instead of just receiving forgiveness from your former sins from the Lord. A lot of times people find it a lot easier to forgive others than themselves, or a lot of people find it easier to forgive others who have hurt you than to forgive yourself.
But it won't do any good to forgive yourself unless you get forgiveness first from the Lord. Once he forgives you, if he forgave you, then he's forgiven you for your past sins. But he said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happen to you. So just stay in the Word. There's no other possible way. Our spirits, our souls are like a computer. Get away from the television set. get away from all the false stuff in this world and get your mind strictly on the Lord if you want to make it into heaven. You don't have that much longer to go. First of all, I mean, you might go out to meet the Lord tonight while you're sleeping, or this morning, or when you're in a car, or whatever. Or there could be a tsunami, or a tornado, or a whirlwind. Or there could be just a drive-by shooting. Who knows what's going on today? People are dying in the most crazy different ways. Could be on a subway, a bus, a plane, hijackers. We're in a world that's gone wild. And there's no hope in this world. But, you know, once you're saved, once you've taken care of your soul with the Lord, if you die, if something like that happens, you're right in the kingdom of heaven. Get saved. That's the best insurance policy in the whole world, is to do what the Lord says. Then what?
A lot of people find it easier to forgive others who have hurt you than to forgive yourself for the curse that you have caused to other people.
Because the Lord tells you to, you know, not to give forgiveness if you've offended somebody, but this is part of the gospel too. Then what?
When Jesus confronted the Apostle Paul, he gave him his instructions, his mission, quote, "Now stand up!" exclamation point, end quote.
He didn't say, "Will you please get up and dust yourself off?" He said, "Stand up! And here's the instructions I want you to do. Go to Ananias. You're blind. You have to get somebody to lead you to go there, because my brightness puts scales over your eyes." Then what?
"Now stand up!" exclamation point, end quote, he told him. "This is what the Lord told me. Quote, stand up and tell these people about the Lord Jesus Christ," end quote.
Or thou, stand up in this room and tell these people about the Lord Jesus Christ, or thou shalt surely die and you're going to hell. And he told Paul, stand up. Whoa, you know, I didn't even know that. I didn't know anything about the Bible when the Lord told me that. But after when I read this, it reminds me so much of the way that I was saved as well. Okay, go ahead.
"So he told the Apostle Paul, quote, now stand up, exclamation point, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and my witness. Yes, I am going to send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to me, God."
Yeah, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles with my word. Preach that they must have faith in my word, the three aspects of faith. Faith to believe it, faith to do it, and to continue doing it. Until the end. Then what?
"Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place..."
That means their former sins. Okay, and then what?
"And be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me," unquote. Chapter 26, verses 16 through 18.
By faith in me, the word of God, which is believe it, do it, and do it till the end. Then what?
"The reason God does this, his goal is, in sending his word to us, is that we may receive forgiveness of our former sins, that we may live a godly life by his spirit living in us, and that we can preach the word to others, that the same will happen to them. The process involves first opening our eyes to the Lord, and then to our own true condition."
Yeah, then to open his eyes, look at his instructions, and see with our own condition that we haven't been doing that, so we can start doing it and that continue doing it. Okay, then what?
"All this happens in different stages, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and so on and so forth. This allows us and you the opportunity to repent and to put on the mind of Christ. In other words, change your mind so that you are in agreement with everything that God says and that you are ready to admit your sins. God wants..."
And then when you agree with everything he says, then show him by doing what he says for you to do. Learn the word and pray always so that you can preach. And when you're praying always, you get the power to preach. When you're reading the word and praying always, you have the power to preach and teach. Do you think that I could possibly preach and teach if I didn't pray and if I didn't study?
No.
I couldn't. How would I know these things? This wouldn't be on my mind. I'd be talking about, you know, worldly things, you know, baseball games, football, basketball, ping pong, everything on the face of this earth, checkers, tournaments, dirt bikes, and all this. This is ridiculous. Nothing of that sort that's going to get your soul into the kingdom of heaven. Give yourself unto the word of God and the faith in it and do what it says and do it always. Then what?
God wants everyone to receive immediate forgiveness based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we do, we're not second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. You don't have to go through the process over and over again. Once you're saved, you have eternal life, but we must take up our cross and follow the Lord.
Yeah, you must start doing. Okay, you believe it, then do it, and then keep doing it. Keep on keeping on, like the man said in his letter from Africa. Okay, then what?
And true forgiveness of our sins awaits everyone right now of the unsaved if they will only receive it.
Amen.
Chapter 26, verses 1 through 23. This is the third account of the Apostle Paul's conversion in the book of Acts. I'll read chapters 9, verses 1 through 20, 22, verses 1 through 21. Paul had been put to it many times to give his testimony, sharing the story of the truth of what happened with anyone who would listen. Before meeting Christ, Paul was a powerful enemy of the Christian faith and did horrible things in an attempt to put an end to the growth of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. When Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ in this very dramatic way, it led to his happy but yet painful spiritual awakening. After his conversion, the Apostle Paul preached to others, of course, every one of them, and all of us needed to hear the message of God's salvation. A lot of people became saved. They don't know exactly how to share their story with others, their conversion with others. It will help to follow the Apostle Paul's example, and for that matter, my example as well, in telling others how it happened before we came to Christ, or Christ came to us, and after we had experienced God's merciful deliverance. Chapter 26, verses 19 through 23. Paul assured King Agrippa that he was suffering persecution, not because he had done anything wrong, but because he was preaching the faith he had once tried to destroy. Paul showed that his preaching was in agreement with the Old Testament scriptures, as well as the basic teaching of the Old and New Testaments, is that of God's desire to deliver all people from the power of sin, Satan, world, and has done so perfectly through the work of God's anointed one, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now see, this is the 14th message that I've preached today. We just came back from church out in the Saugus New Hall Valencia area, and I won some souls out there. And now I come back, and I can't stop or say, oh, I did a great work for the Lord. I did 13 different messages today, and now I'm going to do, I'm just going to kick back, you know, and turn on television or just read some kind of a book, a carnal book or something. No, I says, let's all gather together. Let's do another message. We got something. We've got to have another tape message to send out tomorrow, because the world is coming to an end real soon, and I've got to give as much of God's wisdom and knowledge and understanding into the people so that they have a chance to get saved before it's everlastingly too late. And so that's why we're doing this tape right now. We just got back from church. Okay, and then what else?
Knowing that God desires to bring us into salvation and for us to be able to spend eternity in heaven is essential for us to go through the entire process of growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Chapter 26, verses 24 through 29. Paul was so concerned about the salvation of other people that he had little time to worry about his own problems. Here he risked his life to share his testimony with a man who had the power to have him killed. This conversation with King Agrippa shows Paul's burning desire to soften and reclaim even the most hardened hearts. For everyone in the process of growing to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ is helpful to get our eyes off of our own afflictions and focus on the needs of others. As we help others discover the way, the truth, and the life, the fullness of the stature of Christ, we will be set free from our self-centeredness and be strengthened in our own fullness of the stature of Christ.
All right, praise the Lord. And now we have part 19 of spiritual warfare.
Another truth in regard to spiritual warfare is that you must testify. That is, you must declare what the Lord Jesus has accomplished, his victory of the cross, the attainment of resurrection, and the position that he has of ascension. This is not a matter of just preaching, but this is a matter of testifying and declaring with words the achievements of the Lord Jesus.
Right. It also works, because if you just yap, if you just talk is cheap. I've seen so many people that are great talkers, but they don't live the life. We have to live the gospel. We have to believe it and then do it. And then keep doing it to the end before people will believe us. Before we can convince the gainsayer to give up their worthless carnal lives, that they can die out to this world, be buried with Christ, and resurrect up into newness of spirit, into the new life where there's eternal, everlasting, permanent life with God by His permanent spirit, His eternal spirit entering into our temporal life spirits, giving it the actual eternal, immortal life, the permanent life of God throughout eternity in heaven. Then what?
Now Satan is for sure a subtle accuser. Sometimes when you just start to talk about overcoming the world, he immediately accuses you within, saying, quote, "Are you not still loving the world?" unquote. The moment he interrupts and asks such questions as this, you may very possibly have fainted inside. This is the time you must immediately declare the Lord's victory and your victory as well. You must tell him, quote, "I have been delivered by the power of God. The Lord Jesus Christ has overcome, and I have also. I have overcome the world," unquote. Thus you are able to prevail against his attacks. Another truth is you must not love your own life. You must have no self-love, no self-care, except the natural care for your body and for your loved ones. Of course, the Bible commands that. So that isn't self-love or self-care at all. To not love your own life means the kind of life that sinners live. You must love the life of the Lord. So you must not have self-love, self-care for carnal things. We have to care for our souls. We have to care for and love the life that God has given us because we are the temple of God. But if we love the old life, we lose the position of warfare and will be unable to fight the good fight of faith.
Right, you have to forget about this world in order to sit in heavenly places with the Lord, in order to fight the good fight of faith. I mean, you can't, if you're thinking of carnal things, be sitting with Christ in the spiritual places, the high heavens. And you cannot fight spiritually. Some satanic thing or word will be said to you, just like in our own church. You know, the place where Satan hits the hardest is the godliest churches. Most churches, Satan knows he has them. They become nothing but just dens of evil, doleful birds. But we had a couple in the church. One was a young girl, and another one was a young man that was married. He had 5 children, and he went and committed fornication with this young girl, even though he had a wife and 5 children. So I had to put him out. Because why? Because the Bible says that you're not to have any fornicators or adulterers or any such thing like that in the church. And so I put them out. And one of them happened to be even a close relative. So they said, well, we'll do people. Some of the false churches will say, well, aren't you supposed to be merciful? Not to the devil. And that's the devil, not to people that listen to the devil. Jesus tells us to give no place to the devil, but to resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. That's the Spirit of the Lord says that through every one of his disciples, apostles. And he himself said it. So, if you're in a strong church, you have to be very careful because Satan is hitting that church harder than any other place. If I was the devil, that's where I'd hit, is a strong church. I'd go in there. That'd be a real temptation to me to see if I could overthrow the house of God. Now, a lot of these big churches that boast, you know, of all these people, my imps can take care of those, the devil would say. But I'm going to personally take care of the church that I see that's soul winners, that's out there really hurting me, getting souls away from me and establishing the kingdom of God in this world, which is mine by trick. And so Satan is just after strong churches. So be on guard. That's what the Bible tells us, to be to put on the whole armor of God and to be armed with the Word of God. Be armed and armored in Jesus' name. Okay, then what?
If we love the old life, we lose the position of warfare and will be unable to fight the good fight of faith. We won't be able to battle the war. Therefore, in order to fight the battle, you must not love your soul life, the life of the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, even unto death.
No, because if you love that kind of life, well, then you love Satan. You're not going to fight Satan. You and him are one. You're in the same body of Satan. You're not going to, if you love this world, you love Satan, according to the Word of God. And of course, we're commanded to believe God and not Satan. So if you love this world, you can't fight Satan. You won't fight him because you love the world. And the Lord says, love not the world, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Then what else?
To sum it up, all spiritual work is a form of spiritual warfare. There is not one time when you rise to work that you do not encounter the attacks of the enemy, the devil, your enemy and the Lord's enemy, and the enemy of everyone on earth. In the day when Nehemiah restored the city of Jerusalem, because of the disturbance caused by the enemy, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon.
Yeah, they were working, they were building, and they still kept their weapon in their hand, too. Because, I mean, that's how fierce they were being attacked by the devil. Here they're building, and that's what we're doing. If we're building the temple of God, which is the kingdom of heaven here on earth, it's the body of Christ, the new Jerusalem, the church, the temple of God, the house of God, the mansion of God. In my Father's house, he has many different people that he lives in. It's his house. There are many mansions that God lives in. If it were not true, I would have told you so. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am not the only mansion or the only house that the Lord God is living in. He says, we're going to come and live in you. The Father, I in the Father in me, and both of us in you. And we're going to be building a spiritual body, a whole temple, a house of God with many temples that God and I, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily is going to be living in. And so you, God wants you to be one of those lively stones that's built on the chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, to build this great big building, the temple of God, that is the only body of Christ. In order to get into the kingdom of heaven, we must be in Christ, and Christ with his Father by the Spirit must be in us. We are the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit here on earth. It is no longer God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but it's God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the body of Christ, his bride, that is us. We four are one. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then go.
That was Nehemiah 4:17. Likewise, we who serve the Lord today must work with our hands to keep the church, the gathering place, and places where we live up and build it up, and we need to fight with the other hand as well, with a double-edged sword.
Which is the Word of God. Then what?
We must not care for our gain or our loss, but through the blood of Jesus and the position of ascension, declare the Lord's victory. Quote, we are more than conquerors, unquote, Romans 8:37. Then, exercising the various spiritual weapons, which is the Word of God, the different spirituality of the weapon of the Lord, to deal with our enemy and God's enemy, Satan. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, so therefore we are able to overthrow his power and bring in the kingdom of God right here on earth. So we must never, not ever, neglect any of these principles, these spiritual warfare instructions. We are engaged in spiritual warfare, and you're being taught a practical way to fight it.
Right, so this is Acts 26, chapter 32, verses, translation and commentary. And you've heard part 19 of spiritual warfare, and you've heard letters and phone room responses. And until tomorrow, chapter 27 of the book of Acts, and part 20 of spiritual warfare, this is your pastor, Tony Alamo, reading through the Bible. Meditate on the Lord day and night, and you'll be like trees planted in the Spirit, the spiritual water of God. Until tomorrow, God willing, we're going to be doing 27 and 20. God bless you and praise the Lord.